Joshua chapter 14. Love that song. It's beautiful. So thankful that the Lord will lead us day by day. Joshua chapter 14. Last week was Grandparents' Day. And with it being the 15th anniversary of 9/11, it just didn't seem right to, you know, commemorate our country and the flattening of two buildings and also honoring grandparents. Okay, we were attacked by terrorists. We love you, grandparents. You know, so I thought we would honor our grandparents today. And also thinking about this, preach a message dealing with leaving a legacy. And when we think about this thing with leaving a legacy, we can look back at a legacy that has been left us, but we can also think about a legacy that we are leaving. When I think of legacies, I think of my dad. My dad has left many legacies, and I miss him a lot, and I'm very thankful for the things that he has taught me. One of the things that my dad has, he left as, you might not think it's a legacy, but something that it would be defined in that leaving a legacy, that thing that it has continued on. It is when my dad, when I saw my dad, he either had cowboy boots on, which, okay, or his steel-toed work boots on. That's all I ever saw him in. I might have seen him in a pair of tennis shoes one time, once or twice, but generally speaking, dad was in a pair of cowboy boots or a pair of work boots. Same with me. Same with my brother. I'll wear tennis shoes sometimes, but as a general rule, you will see us in, you know, if you saw my brother, he'd be in a pair of work boots, I don't think my brother, he's not quite right with God. He never wore cowboy boots. But he, you know, he's always in his work boots. All right. One thing you will not see on the feet of one of the Houstons is sandals. Okay. You know that. All right. If you other men wear sandals, you know, hey, knock yourself out, but we don't do that. Well, and so a couple weeks ago, Mike and Dusty they're down there in Louisiana, and they called me and said, "Dad, the blazer is filling with smoke." And so, you know, I'm thinking, what in the world? And you know, I said, "Look, if you see flames, pull off to the side of the road and get away from it." Okay. Well, long story short, what ended up happening? The muffler, there was a hole on the top of the muffler, a big one, because one of the guys they work with he's a big guy. Big hands, and he could put his entire hand in the hole of that muffler that was on the top. So what that was doing, they were driving 45 minutes an hour, and so the heat coming out of that heated up the floorboard of the blazer, which then started to melt the carpet, which filled the thing with. You say, what does this have to do with anything? Hang on, I found out that Dusty had posted on social media somewhere this video of them riding. And, you know, the smoke billowing. So I'm looking at it. Now, I knew they were okay, but they're showing this car and the smoke billowing. And as Dusty turns it around, I see that my son has on slides. Slides. Now, out. You know, some people are going, what are slides? They're like a little sandal thingy that you wear, and it just has it has one thing that goes over the front, so you can just slide your foot into them. And he's wearing those. At this point, I don't care if he's burned up or not. He's wearing slides. I texted him. I said, I saw that video. You're wearing slides? I said, you even went in public with those things on. I said, you have ruined the reputation of your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your uncle, and me. I said, you know what? At this point, you haven't even earned your man card, but the half of one that you have, turn it in. My soul. I'm thinking, my son wore slides in public. He goes, well, Dad, I was helping with a car wash and I won't get my shoes wet. You know, I don't care. Get your shoes wet. Don't wear those things. I mean, he ruined the legacy that I have tried to pass on. Now, I know some of you are going, I wear those things. Well, you know, here's the thing. When you guys would go camping, didn't you wear them to the pool? No. I wore hiking boots to the pool. Now, my wife always said, honey, I have even one time been known of, a couple years ago, we were going to do some kayaking down here in the little creek back here. I came out in a pair of shorts and cowboy boots. And I don't even apologize for that. Okay? Now, you know, whether you agree with that or not, here's the thing. We all have, if you will, a legacy that we leave. Something that has been done in our family down through the years, and you hope to pass that on to your children. That's a legacy. If you are a grandparent here today, we are so thankful for you, and we thank you for the legacy. But as you look back, what kind of legacy have you left? And those of us that are younger, even teenagers in here this morning, young people, what kind of a legacy will you leave? And this is far more serious than whether you wear sissy slides or not, or sandals, and show your ugly feet or not. What kind of legacy will you leave? Joshua chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 6. If you would, out of respect for the word of God, stand with me, please. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Father, help us as we look into your word and in looking at this thing of leaving a legacy. Lord, there are people here in our church that have already left a legacy. They have children and grandchildren, maybe great grandchildren, maybe some in here great great grandchildren. But Lord, then there are those that are just beginning. They're teenagers, and they're starting to make decisions now that will leave a legacy. And so, Lord, as we honor grandparents and the legacy that they have left, I also ask you that we challenge those that are younger, those that are in the middle somewhere, as we leave a legacy, that we will leave a legacy that honors you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Leaving a legacy. Whether you have left a legacy or you are working on leaving a legacy, there are some things. Leaving a legacy, first of all, because of your reliability. Because of your reliability. If you look here in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 14, the Bible says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. All right, so I need you to turn now. Hold your finger here in Joshua, but turn back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. leaving a legacy because of your reliability. First of all, because of your reliability with the stress. Even with the stress. Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 6, please. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. All right? So, leaving a legacy because of your reliability, even with the stress. At this point, all of Israel is getting ready to stone them for their stand. Now, most Bible scholars believe that there were probably 2 million Jews. So, 2 million people and two guys are taking a stand. Now, obviously, I know there's Moses and Aaron there, but two guys of the 12 take a stand and say, guys, don't do this. Don't rebel against the Lord. I know those people are big, but God's big too, so let's go. And there, they rent their clothes, a sign of just repentance, and what in the world are you doing? And then the people bade stone them with stones. Remember, stoning was something that you died from. This was not just casting a pebble or two at them. These were taking rocks and killing them dead. And these guys, too, are standing up against 2 million people. Talk about peer pressure. I mean, sure, they stood up against the other 10, but wow, against an entire congregation who are saying, we're going to kill you. Talk about some stress. You know what? The things that we do, the decisions that we make that are the easy ones, you know, that can leave a legacy. But I'm going to tell you what, the things that you do when it's life or death, the things that you do that are not easy, that is what really leaves a legacy. The things that are difficult, the things that you don't want to do, that you don't feel like doing, that when you take a stand, those are the things that leave a legacy. I jokingly was talking about my dad and his footwear, but there are a lot of things that my dad left a legacy for me. That my dad left a legacy of, when the church doors are open, you're going to be there. And my dad wasn't the pastor. I mean, my kids were like, well, dad's a pastor, we got to go. But my dad wasn't the pastor, but we were there. My dad, the legacy he left, that he went to work no matter what. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, he could just be sick as a dog. He could be in pain. I'm going to work. And then the same thing was true for church. He said, you know, we'd try to encourage him. He'd have a massive headache, probably migraine or something. We'd say, dad, just stay home. Nope. He said, if it was Monday, I'd be going to work, so I'm sure going to church. That's a legacy my dad left. I remember a time, I was a young kid, but I remember a Sunday that somebody got upset with our pastor, and they were going to try to make a big stink in church that day. And I remember watching my dad walk to the front of the church before church. And this dude that was going to do this, my dad was a short little guy. And this guy, I think, was 6'6", 6'7", something. Great big old guy. And I remember watching my dad go up there to that guy and look up at him, and he took a stand, and nothing happened that day in church. Now, there are later people left, but the guy, this big old massive dude, wanted to make this stink in church, and little old dad just went up there, and he made sure things didn't happen. That's a legacy. Those weren't easy things for him to do, but those are things that I remember when my dad took a stand when it wasn't easy. When you're under stress and things are going bad, when 2 million people are wanting to kill you, that's a time you start to leave a legacy. And so leaving a legacy because of your reliability. Your reliability is tested when there's stress. But second, the second thing, because of your reliability, without the status, you go, what are you talking about? The two guys that took a stand, Joshua and Caleb, we're familiar with that. But see, Joshua had a position of importance, if you will. Joshua was Moses' servant. We said, okay, he was a servant. Yeah, I understand that. But Joshua was the guy. He was the Bible calls him minister. There's a couple places, I don't know if we'll take time to turn, but in Exodus 17, 9, and also Exodus 24, 13. Let's look at one of those very quickly. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, verse 9. Here the Bible says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. All right, then we better look at 24, because I thought it was 17 that said it. Exodus 24, verse 13. And Moses rose up, Exodus 24, verse 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. All right, so it says his minister, so his servant, his helper. So Joshua was the guy. In fact, when Moses went up into the mount and was there for 40 days and 40 nights and God was giving him the Ten Commandments, Joshua went part way up. Nobody else was allowed to. It was Joshua and Moses. Then Joshua came, they came to a spot. Moses said, stay here. And Joshua waited for Moses. And so Joshua's there with the guy that spoke to God. And so he had a position of importance, but Caleb, not so much. Caleb, to a point, the Bible says when Moses was choosing the spies, he chose rulers out of each tribe. So he picked Caleb. So Caleb would have been a man of importance in his own tribe, but he would not have been at the level of Joshua or Moses. So, Moses took a stand, obviously, because he was the man. He was the guy in charge of everybody. Joshua took a stand because he was Moses' right-hand man. But Caleb, without as high of a position, as much status, he still took a stand. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if I had their sphere of influence, if I had their position in the church, well, if I, well, let's not worry about if I, let's just take a stand whether we have the status or not. Because that leaves a legacy. You say, well, my sphere of influence isn't that huge. You're still leaving a legacy for those who follow. So the reliability, will we leave a legacy of reliability when there's stress, even if we don't have status? But I love this next thing. Because of your reliability, the third thing, with a satisfaction. And at first you might go, what? What are you talking about with that? And this is something that I just learned this week as I was looking at this, and I decided, one of those things I randomly go, hey, I wonder what that word means. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 9, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That word wholly means to fill or be full, and there's a bunch of different meanings or words that would mean the same thing, to fill or be full, but it also means satisfy. And when Caleb said, I wholly followed the Lord, the idea is he was satisfied in following the Lord. Wow, that's pretty good. I ask us this morning, I ask myself, I ask you, are you satisfied following the Lord? Do we have a satisfaction in following God? I'm not talking about playing church. Playing church does not satisfy. Following God, am I satisfied doing that? Or is my satisfaction in how many followers I have on Twitter, or how many likes I get on Facebook, or what my bank account says, or what my house is, or what my car is, or what my, you know, whatever, on and on and on and on we go? Or am I satisfied with God? Just following him. Lord, all I need to do is follow you. That's one of the things that stuck out about Caleb. He was satisfied in following the Lord. Here's the thing. We're all going to leave a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy will we leave? And if we are going to leave a legacy that's worth following, we will be reliable in the midst of stress, even without status. And there will be that reliability because our satisfaction will not be in what people think about us. Our satisfaction will be with what God thinks about us. It won't be in what clothes we wear, in whether we have name brand things or not. It won't be whether I drive a certain kind of a car. It won't be with, wow, my car costs more than my house. Okay, woo. You know, it won't be with where my house is located or anything like that. It will be in the fact that I'm following my God. What kind of legacy will you leave? What kind of legacy will I leave? Leaving a legacy, first of all, because of your reliability. Secondly, because of your resilience. Because of your resilience. And I will say, grandparents, we normally think, most grandparents are older, not all. And we look at grandparents and the people that have stood during dark days and tough days. And boy, I tell you what, we are, as older people go home to be with the Lord, we're losing an incredible generation. When I see work days, and I'll just say this, when we have work opportunities at the church and, we're doing a work day, something like that, and I have a ton of older people come and hardly any younger people, we're losing a bunch of hard workers. And please don't, young people, don't think I'm busting on you, unless you need busted on. but you know what? We need to look at, I can feel a rabbit trail coming on here, and I will be careful. But we got this generation. Well, we've got the millennials. I don't care if you're a millennial or a Generation X who gives a rip about that? You know what? Put your work boots on and get moving. Or if you can work in your slides, go ahead. Just get moving and work. Quit sitting around on your derriere and playing on your little Xbox or you're playing on your screen. Put the stinking screen down. Go outside and do something. And you know what? When you see somebody needs help, go help them. If you see a senior citizen that maybe there's a bunch of leaves in their yard or there's a tree falling down, go help them, because I'll tell you what, that's what they would do. But we're so busy on our screens and our technology. Well, you know what? Well, is there an app for that? Yeah, the app is Get Off Your Hind End. Now I know, don't get me wrong. I enjoy tech. In fact, I think the pastor spent this morning about technology. Okay, technology is great, but you don't need an app for everything. Yeah, you need an app, application, get going. Get up, put your big boy pants on, put your shoes on, and go out and pick up some sticks. You know what? Sweat a little bit. Heaven forbid, I'm a millennial. So? I'm not, and all the millennials are going, I can't believe, and we're supposed to reach the millennials. I understand that. I'm not against millennials, but we need to quit being such spoiled brats, and we need to start doing what we're supposed to do, because we've got a generation, the greatest generation, the World War II generation, that are dying off, and we've got people that worked and worked and worked, and now we got people that all they know how to do is do something on a computer and won't do anything. Get up, get doing something. Because we need a generation who is willing to say, you need help carrying your groceries? Let me carry your groceries. You need your car fixed? Let me fix your car. You need your computer fixed? Let me fix your computer. Somebody who is not so self-centered, and we all do that, that will look at other people and help other people. Leave a legacy. And not expect to get paid to do it. So that resilience, and I know I took a little rabbit trail, and we'll come back. It was just a short one. Because of your resilience, we've got to leave a legacy in that resilience. First of all, the resilience to be patient. The resilience to be patient. Now, I just realized I wrote down verse 45, and that is absolutely not right. Is that on the... Yep, there's no verse 45. Sorry, Jonathan, that's my bad. Because I was thinking of how many years. okay, let me look here quickly. 45. There are only 15 verses in this chapter. Verse 10. Okay, thank you. Yeah, verse 10. Sorry. To be patient on your notes. It's not verse 45, it's verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So Caleb at this point is 85 years old. But he said, these 45 years, I have been faithful to the Lord. Caleb, now, this just blows my mind. Caleb waited 45 years for God's promise to be fulfilled. 45 years. And we get all wound up if God doesn't answer our prayer in 45 minutes. I can't imagine that. God told Caleb, the land that you've walked on, I will give it to you. And he did not see the fulfillment of that promise for 45 years. And you know, and I'm as bad and I'm as guilty as anybody else in this. We live in a now. I mean, give it to me now. I want it now. Well, last night, Bethann and I had a little bit of a date night. We went out to eat, and then she got a DVD thing, a movie thing for her. And she said, we're in Walmart. She goes, I want ice cream. Like, okay, well, all right then. And she goes, and I want my own tub of ice cream. Okay. So we're walking. Bethany goes, small tub. It was not this. We're walking down the ice cream aisle. I'm seeing the half gallons. I went, there's my tub. and so we're there. But I have a thing with ice cream, and no, it wasn't a big tub. It was one of those. It was a pint. I think it's a pint tub. So we're getting ready to watch her little chick flick thing, and I make coffee, and I got some good coffee there. And she brings her ice cream down, and I said, you know, if there's anything exciting on the chick flick, pause it. But I need to go upstairs. She goes, what are you doing? I'm softening my ice cream. Here's the thing. I do not like hard ice cream. I don't like this where you have to like get the jackhammer to chisel the thing free. I want like basically thick soup, okay? So what I do, I did not want to sit and wait for my ice cream to get soft. What do? Go up to the microwave, open it up, put it in there, boop, 15 seconds. Yeah, man, that's what I'm talking about. All right, we all do it, and some people, I don't like that. If your ice cream gets, well, no, not if you put your lips in there, but, you know, if you have ice cream that you haven't put your spoon in there, and it's getting almost like a milkshake, give it to me. I love it. But we want everything now. Don't make me wait for my ice cream to melt. I want it now. 15 seconds, we're good. We're good to go. We all have this do it right now thing. But if we're going to leave a legacy, there's got to be resilience, and there is no resilience unless we learn to be patient. It is just amazing. I've read this before, but it just amazed me again as I was studying this that Caleb waited 45 years for God's promise to be fulfilled. The question I kind of asked myself is, and this goes along with the next point, would I be willing to keep following God if I had to wait 45 years for his promise to be fulfilled? Which takes me to the next thing, the resilience to be persistent, not just to be patient, but to be persistent. About halfway down verse 10, he said, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, Remember, Joshua and Caleb wanted to obey God. Everybody else wanted to disobey God. So because of the disobedience, the children of Israel are told they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for every day that the spies were gone. So they're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that wanted to disobey were dead. 20 years old and upward. You know, I just heard about, there's a church that their voting age used to be 18 and they changed it to 20 because that's the only age. The Bible doesn't say anything about 18. Well, 18, I'm a legal adult now. The Bible says 20. Can you imagine if you'd have just turned 20 years old 2 days before this happened? Bummer, I'm dying now. 19, you're good. 20, you're done. Somebody pointed that out to me. My birthday was the day before. I just turned 20. Oh, I just turned 20. But 20 is that the only thing the Bible shows there is like an age of responsibility. But they had to wander for 40 years to wait till all the disobedient people died. Joshua and Caleb had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness, which is a desert, because of other people's disobedience. They got punished for something somebody else did. Punished. What incredible trust in the Lord, not only to wait for 45 years for God's promise to be fulfilled, but also to walk along in the punishment of the people who wanted to disobey. And you wanted to obey. I'm suffering for you? Mm-hmm. He was persistent. Leaving a legacy, we'll be patient. We'll wait for God. We will be persistent. And this is not easy. But is life difficult for you? Be persistent. God is still on the throne. I read this letter from Lafreniere just this morning. And then I said to Pastor Matt, I really want you to read this. And there's another part, another letter that got sent. I'll read to you guys later. But one of the things they said, we don't understand why God's having us go through this. And in this letter that I'll read this morning, it's that their pastor, they're sending church. He said, if God decides to heal her through taking her to heaven, I mean, I'm paraphrasing it. But I mean, they go up there to plant a church in an area that needs a church, and she gets ALS. And why? Well, the thing that I admire is they've continued. Here is a woman dying from ALS, and she gets to lead two of her caretakers or her care workers to the Lord? Oh, my word. Talk about leaving a legacy. Their little boy will know that his mommy, in from what I understand, it's not a real pleasant disease. Her body shutting down, her muscles stopping working, her dying and still leading two people to the Lord. Incredible. Persistence. That's what leaves a legacy. Then the third thing in leaving a legacy because of your resilience, to be patient, to be persistent, and the third thing, to be progressive. Now, in this political environment, I'm not talking about being progressive and being kind of liberal. I mean advancing, moving forward. Look at verse 11. He says, Caleb, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Caleb, now, he's 85 years old, and he said, I'm as strong today as I was back then. That's pretty amazing, for one. But think about this. For more than half of Caleb's life, he has lived in the wilderness. And you go, yeah, they want to get out of there. They want to go to the promised land. But after you've been somewhere for 45 years, doesn't it kind of get comfortable in its own way? I mean, some of you have lived here a lot longer than that, but some of you have lived in this area for 45 years. And is this area perfect? No, it's wonderful. I love this area. But it has its imperfections, but you just learn to deal with it. Why? Because I've been here for 45 years. Why did Caleb not just want to hang out in the wilderness? He knew it. 45 years, you tend to learn something. Why not just stay there? You say, well, that's crazy, Pastor Dave. That's right. But how many of us in our Christian walk with the Lord We hang out in the wilderness just because that's what we're used to. We're not wanting to move forward. I mean, come on, move forward? That's uncomfortable. I read an author that one time said the children of Israel, God kept calling to the promised land, but really for the first, well, I think about several years, it was more battle land than it was promised land. That's what they do. They went over and fought. And you say, well, come on, I'm comfortable where I am. We've got to keep moving forward. If we do not move forward, we're actually losing ground. So being progressive, advancing forward, moving forward for what God wants us to do. And then let me quickly go to Roman numeral 3 because of your relationship. If you're old, you have left a legacy because of your reliability, because of your resilience, because of your relationship. If you're young, you can leave a proper legacy because of a reliability, resilience, and a relationship. Look at verse 12. Here he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." So your relationship. Obviously, Caleb had a great relationship with the Lord. He was not well known, I mean, as well known as Joshua or Moses, but he obviously had a great relationship with the Lord to be willing to trust him all those for 45 years while he's suffering with all the people for 40 years. But this relationship that he had with his God, which helped in the problems. You can leave a legacy because of your relationship, which helps in the problems. When you live for the Lord, is it going to be all roses? Nope, there's lots of thorns too. There are lots of problems. But a relationship helps with those problems. Caleb said, "Give me this mountain. I'm going to be battling uphill, but I want that mountain. Let me have it. God promised it to me. I'm 85. Let's go get it." Incredible. The relationship with helps with the problems. There are folks in our congregation that have hiked up mountains. I don't mean literal. I mean, I know you've done that too, but I mean in mountainous problems in their lives that I can't even imagine. And you've continued to go and you've continued to push forward. Again, John and Abby Lafreniere, the mountain that they are, for him to be able to help to care for his wife and plant a church and take care of a little boy is just amazing. Some of you have gone up mountains and probably seem like steep rock cliffs and just you've kept going. A relationship with the Lord helps in those problems. Caleb obviously had a relationship with his God. But then because of your relationship, secondly, which helped in the panic, there are those times that panic can kind of ensue. When you hear those, you know, maybe that doctor's report, when you hear news of a family member, something, sometimes it can strike panic in your heart. Caleb said there in verse 12, he said, "For thou heardest in that day." Just to be a reminder, because sometimes it helps us to remember or be reminded of these things. This mountainous area was the area that caused all of Israel not to want to go in. Remember, the spies came back and went, "There's giants in that land. In our sight, we are as grasshoppers to them." This is the exact area that made the congregation's heart melt. And Caleb said, "Give me that mountain." And even he said, "If God's for us, we'll be able to drive him out," as he said. I love that if. But that time that, or that place that you come to that has caused other people to turn back, and you go, this is what God wants me to do. I'm going forward. That relationship, which helps in the problems, which helps in the panic. And then the third thing, which helped in the promise, he said in verse 12, if, right at the end, "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So his relationship helped in that promise. You know, are you going through some problems today and you feel like nobody's there? Then work on your relationship with the Lord. Focus on that. Is there something maybe that you have been told recently, maybe just something that just kind of pops up in your head that makes you panic? Lean on the Lord. You're waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. Trust God. And the only way that trust will happen is through a relationship. Follow God and keep trusting him to keep his promise. Are you willing to do that? At the times when it seems like God does not hear, will you follow? You know, I put this, I don't know if I totally agree with my statement that I wrote. I put, it's almost impossible. I don't know if that almost should be in there. It's almost impossible to follow God without having a relationship. Maybe I should say it's completely impossible to follow God without having a relationship. It's not impossible to be religious. There's lots of people in our world that are religious. But it's impossible to follow God, truly follow God without a relationship. This morning, as we close, have you left a legacy? You are leaving a legacy. But what kind of legacy will you leave? Will the legacy you leave point to your reliability, your resilience, and your relationship with God? I pray that it does. I pray that my legacy, this church, we as individuals, that our legacy points to a reliability, a resilience, and a relationship with our God.